Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by ServPro. Cleaning, restoration, construction.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Yesterday, we started the show by talking some UGA recruiting, and a couple of the names we mentioned prominently, the five-star offensive lineman David Sanders, the five-star quarterback Julian Juju Lewis. As it happens, we have pretty significant updates on both those players here today. Before the show is done, we'll give you the new details on Sanders. And in a few minutes, I would say a pretty provocative statement, perhaps a little more candid than normal, coming from the camp of five-star quarterback Julian Juju Lewis. That's coming up in just a few minutes' time, so stick with us for that. Before we get to any of that, though, can we just have some fun here for a moment? Now, admittedly, I am probably guilty of doing something that Kirby Smart probably does not like very much, which is when he speaks during spring practice or the players speak during spring practice, especially given the fact that so much of what happens in spring practice sort of happens behind closed doors, and we don't really get to see a lot of this with our own eyes until G-Day, I am probably looking a little bit more deeply into what's being said and probably sifting through to try to find the most interesting quotes that are being used. Obviously, Kirby has sort of always played a little bit of defense against interesting quotes. He just sort of likes to be as bland as possible, I would say. And I think he encourages his own players to do that too. And for the most part, you know, we've always believed that, you know, listen, it may be a very media-like thing to do to always be kind of looking for a sort of an interesting statement. But ultimately, most of this stuff is sort of in the no harm, no foul category of, hey, this is a little bit more interesting than you sometimes expect from a Georgia player. But at the same time, it's also, you know, just kind of honest and you know, there's nothing harmful about anything like this. Perhaps an example of that the other day from Georgia linebacker Smile Monden, who was one of the reporters who was in the room with Smile, kind of pointed out, you know, not going through spring practice, but still being tabbed to speak to the media spring practice begins. That gives you an idea of just what a key leader Smile Monden probably is for this team here this year. And one of the things that Monden was asked, and this is a very non-Georgia topic because, you know, Kirby's always be where your feet are, W-I-N, what's important now. There is no look ahead for Georgia football, and that's typically for good reason. But Smile Monden the other day was willing to entertain a topic about what the next few months are going to look like for UGA, perhaps kind of playing against type from what you would normally expect from Georgia. The question came up of, have you paid attention to the schedule that Georgia's playing here this year? And are you interested in the fact that Georgia right now is playing a schedule that's a little deeper and probably a little bit more exciting than we're used to seeing from UGA or perhaps any team in the SEC or maybe even most teams in college football in recent seasons? And Monden, to his credit, was willing to entertain that, even kind of getting more specific about the actual game he was probably looking forward to more than any other. This is, I think, really interesting. I think it's fun. Smile Monden the other day talking about the upcoming 2024 Georgia schedule.
Yeah, and I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't look into that. Like, it's really exciting, you know, to see the teams we get to play next year. And then, like, I feel like it's every kid's, like, dream schedule. Like, you want to play in those big games, like those good old good games.
What games do jump out when you feast your eyes on what's ahead for Georgia? I'm guessing some of the road trips you haven't been on before?
What games stand out? Really, all of them, like, you don't want to overlook no game. But, just, I guess games that stand out, maybe one would be like Texas. I guess just because they haven't been in the SEC.
Right.
And then I can't remember. Oh, I do remember the last time Georgia played Texas. It was the Sugar Bowl.
Whatever.
Yeah. So it's been a while since they, like, you know, actually played. So just really excited for that, man.
I love that, man. I think that's really cool. And, you know, it's not always the kind of thing you hear about, you know, a Georgia player during spring practice where normally they're like, hey, listen, all we're worried about is right now. We got to get better for every game. All games are the same. Everything is equal. Nothing is any more interesting than the other. But in Monden's case here, he's willing to be honest to say, hey, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't looking ahead to this. I would be lying, which does, and by the way, looking ahead doesn't mean looking past. Let's also make very clear about that. That looking ahead to what's going to happen does not mean you're looking past whatever you happen to be doing right now. And in Monden's case, later on in that same press conference, you should go to the Dog Nation YouTube page. You can see all of this yourself. He talked about, you know, the things that he's trying to learn right now while he's not participating in spring practice. So Monden's is, you know, plugged in and connected to all of this as he ever could be. But at the same time, he's also a human being. Of course, I'm excited about playing at Texas. And he might mention at Alabama or a season opener against Clemson. There, look at the schedule right there. I mean, look at those games. At Kentucky against his good friend Jamon Dumas Johnson, now playing for the Wildcats. And Brock Vandegrift now playing there as well. At Ole Miss in November. That's a team that's earning playoff buzz right now. I mean, this is, just objectively speaking, the most interesting schedule that Georgia's ever played. And I would say there'd be something wrong with the Georgia player if you're not interested in this schedule that Georgia is about to play. So we love the fact that Mondon is willing to kind of go there to an honest place of, yeah, you better believe I'm thinking about some of this right now. That's going to be fun. He said, what, really excited about it? And I love that from Smile Mondon. And I'll also say this. I think this is one of the things that I think is good if you're a fan on this too, because if we're just being like completely honest here just for a moment, there is a little bit of, I think, justifiable concern about sort of where things stand with college football here right now, that there's a lot of change. We're forced to sort of hold on and see if we can endure all of this or adapt to all of this. And in some cases for college football, I'm not going to get too detailed on this right now. You know what I'm talking about, though. In some cases, we're kind of concerned that are these changes actually changes for the better? And is the sport that we've known and loved, is that kind of slipping away from us? Whether that's overstated, it is still a concern that some fans have. So in those moments in which there are examples, I believe, of some changes for the better, then those of us who are fans need to be like Smile Mondon. We need to embrace those things and be like, man, it is awesome that Georgia's playing Clemson on a neutral site. And it's awesome that Georgia gets to go to Austin for the first time in however many years, 60 whatever years. And it's awesome that the schedule also includes Ole Miss and Alabama and still got Tennessee on. Like, it's awesome that those things are taking place. That's an awesome and fun thing. And if you're a Georgia fan, you ought to be just as excited about that as Smile Mondon is. And you got to try to find the good in the midst of the confusing, which college football has a lot of these days, and perhaps changes for the worse that some of us fear might be upon us. Let's also make sure we notice in the situation where change might be happening for the better. And I believe the upgraded schedule is certainly an example of that. But there's also something else going on here there as well. That the schedule that Smile Mondon talks about Georgia playing, the one that he's really excited for, that includes these sort of showdown-type games, showcase-type games, I think it also has the potential of spicing things up for Georgia spring practice a little bit, too. You know, Georgia kind of goes through this grind year after year after year, and there's something about the consistency of that that's really valuable. But also, when you can find a new energy, I think that can be valuable there as well. And I couldn't help but notice that the schedule was also on Kirby Smart's mind the other day, too. Now, he didn't say a lot about it, but he did allude to it when he talked about the overall value of what spring practice provides here for Georgia and the goal that he has for that spring practice. Let me let you hear a little bit of what Kirby Smart had to say about that when the Dawgs kicked off spring practice just a few days ago.
Goals of spring for me would be to expand our roster of winning football players. So what defines above the line and below the line is, can you play winning football? You know, we probably got 30 or 40 guys that have proven that. We got another 30, 40 that have to prove that to get the team we need to have ready to go play the schedule we have.
So that statement from Kirby Smart is, I think, pretty interesting. And I want to start with the back part of it, work my way up to the front. You know, Kirby says all of this work at spring practice is more important, and you heard him say this, because of the schedule we have to play. In other words, finding out his line of above the line or below the line, basically who meets the standard of being a guy we trust to put into a game and who's not quite there yet, all of that, Smart alludes to anyway, made more important because of the schedule Georgia's about to play here this fall, that the games aren't just exciting, they aren't just fun, they are also a potential motivator because you need to be at your best when you are facing better competition on a more consistent basis. That's what Smart is basically saying in so many words. And so the notion of, hey, who's above the line, who's below the line, how many guys do we have that are capable of playing winning football? That's a big question for Georgia here this spring. The schedule makes it true, but there's a degree to which that'd be true no matter what. You know, who is it that we trust to put into football games? I think it sets us up for a way and a vantage point to view spring practice for the remainder of the time ahead of G-Day on April the 13th. You know, Kirby Smart says this is our goal of spring practice. And the way that I think about this is this. I think we're going to do this a little bit over the course of the next few days. Sort of look at every position group within like two categories. You have some examples in the category of a certain position group where you're dealing with a known commodity, a player who is obviously, based on previous track record, sort of already at that standard of, this is a player that's above the line, this is a player that we trust, this is a player that's already proven himself to be a very crucial building block into whatever success that Georgia is able to achieve here this season. And here's another category within that same position group of guys who are trying to work their way towards being that, guys who could have bright futures, but either because of youth or inexperience or whatever else, just haven't quite had a chance to put that together yet. That's sort of the spring for Georgia, each position group and those sort of twin pillars that could exist within those position groups. In fact, I want to give you an example from a position group here coming up, but first, let me take some time here to introduce the show. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented today by ServPro. Now, listen, here's what you don't see. Every now and then, there's like a little bit of a technical glitch or something like that. We have a very, very complicated system that the show broadcasts from. There are people working behind the scenes. Our buddy Cody Chaffins, we had a little bit of a technical glitch a moment ago, and he just jumped in here, and he was getting it done, and everything runs smoothly. It's sort of like the duck, just sort of gliding gracefully on top of the water while there's churning going underneath. You'll never see, hopefully anyway, all the stuff that goes on to make this show run as smoothly as it's supposed to, make sure we get great presentation for our friends like ServPro who make the show possible for you here today. Now listen, the work we do to make all that happen, frankly, pales in comparison to the hard work the folks at ServPro are doing each and every day for people who find themselves in a position of need. We have a lot of landowners in our audience. People own their own home, or they own some commercial property that, you know, is the place where they house their business, which is the source of their livelihood, or perhaps they're looking for some of that passive income that comes from a rental property or something like that. And for people who are landowners, for people who have real estate, and real estate's a part of your life in some form or fashion, the one thing that you obviously know can be a very harrowing situation is when there's damage there. It's caused by fire, or sometimes there's like a water leak that sort of turns into a huge mess. And it's the kind of mess created by that kind of water intrusion or fire damage or something along those lines that ServPro sort of lives to take care of for you. They are restoration specialists. What that means is when you've got major damage to some piece of property that you own, the folks at ServPro can restore it. They can get it back looking like it never even happened. That's what ServPro is all about. These are people who are dedicating their lives to doing that for you because each and every ServPro office is independently owned and operated. These are independently owned and operated franchises, meaning that this is someone who's got a vested interest in the outcome of your situation. You want the cleanup to happen. You want it looking like it never happened before, like it was basically like all put together back like it never even happened. Well, that's what the ServPro franchise want for you there as well, because that's how they're making their living. That's how they are taking care of their families. So they're in this for you for the same outcome that you seek in a situation like this. So if you've had fire damage, if you've had water damage, if you've had something like that, trust the restoration specialists of ServPro. They have got everything you need to get it all back, cleaned up and restored like it never even happened. It's ServPro.com, S-E-R-V, ServPro.com. One more time, S-E-R-V, ServPro.com. All right. In a moment, a quick update on something we announced yesterday that we haven't gotten a great response to. And this is like just sort of casual and fun. There's not a whole lot of like bell and whistle to this. This is just something we're sort of doing just among friends here. But we had a great response to this yesterday, and we'll tell you more about that here coming up in a moment. Prior to that, though, let us go around the doghouse. And let me recap just a moment we were just saying before that, okay, so Georgia playing a tough schedule. Therefore, spring practice is important because you got to be ready for that tough schedule. Kirby Smart, with that in mind, said, because of the schedule we play, the goal of spring is to find out how many sort of above-the-line capable players do we have that we trust to put into football games here this fall? And what I said is, when you look at the various Georgia position groups, you can sort of break the position groups into like sort of two categories within the group. You've got some examples within a position group of this is a known commodity. This is a player that's clearly, to use Smart's phrase, above the line. This is a building block towards the kind of foundation for everything that Georgia wants to do this year. And perhaps you've got other examples within that same position group of this is a player who's got some promise, otherwise he wouldn't be at UGA. But either because of inexperience or maybe in some cases youth, just hasn't quite had a chance to show that to you yet. What I said a moment ago is I want to give you an example of that from a specific position group. I want to focus on quarterback here for a moment. Carson Beck is clearly in that first category of what I talked about before. He is right now kind of being treated as the top returning quarterback in all of college football, we would say, with good reason. So in your sort of building blocks of who are your known commodities, who are, to use Smart's phrase, players who are playing above the line, right now Carson Beck is clearly one of those. However, there's also a player in that quarterback position for Georgia who I think is sort of in that second group, a promising prospect. You've heard me brag on him before thus far this spring, but hasn't quite gotten a chance to show it yet. This is a guy who could prove himself to be an above-the-line player, and that's the backup quarterback, Gunnar Stockton. Now, the other day, ESPN had a very interesting statement about Gunnar Stockton that I know that DogNation.com wrote a story about. Our guest, Connor Riley, who will join us in a couple of minutes, he's the one that wrote the story. What they were talking about was the future of the Georgia quarterback situation and how well set up is Georgia for quarterback success in its future. And in that particular piece, Adam Rittenberg, the writer, put a spotlight on Gunnar Stockton and why this spring and this season overall can be and perhaps needs to be a big moment in which Gunnar Stockton steps up as a way of ensuring Georgia's football future. Let me read to you what Rittenberg says here at ESPN about Gunnar Stockton and what he does to contribute to Georgia's quarterbacking future. Rittenberg writes that the Bulldogs still have a year to develop Gunnar Stockton, who was a top recruit in 2022 and worked as Beck's backup during the Orange Bowl preparation and did have two touchdown passes against Florida State in the 63-3 romp. Rittenberg goes on to say that if Stockton doesn't make the necessary jump, Georgia would be an attractive portal destination for an experienced quarterback. After not taking a quarterback in the 2023 class, Georgia signed Ryan Puglisi, ESPN's number 109 overall recruit for the class of 2024. Now, here's what's important to note. If I'm making a bet, and listen, my individual predictions aren't going to be any more accurate than anybody else's is, but if I'm making a bet, as I've told you before, my bet is on Stockton for Georgia success in the future more so than any player that you might be able to bring out of the transfer portal. Because let me ask you this. A lot of you follow college football very closely, not just Georgia football. How many teams are getting great because of transfer quarterbacks? How many teams are going out and bringing in the transfer quarterback and seeing tremendous success because of that? And how many times does a team go out and get a transfer quarterback over the course of the last couple of years and sort of find out that he may have been the best available and he may have been better than what so-and-so team had, but he himself is not a game-changing quarterback? I think we're seeing more of that the last couple of years in the portal than we're seeing the former. You know, there's a Caleb Williams who leaves Oklahoma and goes to USC, becomes a Heisman Trophy winner, and there's a Jackson Dart who leaves also, I guess, USC and comes to Ole Miss and makes them a contender. But for the most part, those are sort of, I would say, small examples within a larger pool of the transfer portal has not exactly been an easy button for teams who need quarterback. So far better to develop the guy that you have, far better to cultivate the guy that you have. And to go back to the overall theme of within every position group, you've got some known commodities and guys you're trying to work up for that. Right now, Gunnar Stockton, I would say, is in that group of guys that this spring, this fall, can be working his way up into being the kind of player that you trust, traveling a similar path to what Carson Beck, who's the current starter, once traveled there for UGA. And by the way, it's not just me who feels this way. Another guy who just caught passes from Gunnar Stockton the other day, Ladd McConkey, most important day of his life, UGA Pro Day. It sounds like he was very happy to have Gunnar Stockton be the quarterback throwing to him that particular day. And also, Ladd more than happy to tout the future of what he believes that Gunnar Stockton is going to be as a Georgia Bulldogs quarterback one day when he finally gets a larger opportunity. This is what Ladd said about that the other day.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate him more than he knows coming out here and throwing for me. So he was slinging around a little bit. So I know when Gunnar gets his opportunity to go out there and take over this team, that he'll do that.
So I love that, that Ladd McConkey, as I said before, you know, getting Gunnar throwing to him on Pro Day. Ladd sounding very confident about the future of Gunnar Stockton. And for this particular year, this is about more than who may be the starting quarterback for Georgia in 2025. Unfortunately, and listen, I don't mean to put this out in the universe, although I'm not very superstitious, but the point is the backup quarterbacks in the SEC have mattered. There have been moments in which backup quarterbacks have had to make significant throws. Georgia's two national championships were kind of born on the back of a former backup quarterback there at UGA. So the Gunnar Stockton story for Georgia is not just about what he could be if he is the starter in 2025, but it's also what he might be if he's called upon for spot duty here this season. So in that story that Kirby Smart tells of the goal of spring practice being finding out who do we have on this roster capable of playing above the line, of being guys that we trust to put in the football game, that's true for quarterback there as well. Known commodity in Carson Beck, but the backup matters because sometimes you need him. And when Georgia needs Gunnar Stockton, the work that he's doing right now will get him ready to be that guy if he's called upon here this season or perhaps sometime in the future. Now, before we turn the page on this and close up around the doghouse, let me also speak about Georgia's quarterbacking future here for a moment there too. My guess is this will turn into a larger conversation in future days and also be a topic we get into with our guest, Connor Riley, coming up here in just a moment. But yesterday at DogNation.com, perhaps a little more candid than usual from the camp of five-star quarterback Julian Lewis, his father speaks to Jeff Centella, Dog Nation, upon just taking a visit to UGA, and a fairly clear picture of the thought process the Lewis camp is going through before they take some official visits, with obviously Julian slated to be here end of May, right there at the beginning of June, and then the other official visits they're going to take. I thought this was really interesting. We just talked a moment ago about if Stockton doesn't progress, does that mean Georgia takes a transfer quarterback? I kind of poo-pooed the idea of that, at least in terms of future starter at UGA. But Julian Lewis's camp is apparently also thinking about this there as well. Let me read this to you from DogNation.com. Now, I'm going to read a little bit more than I typically do because I think these are really interesting quotes. So first of all, T.C. Lewis, who is Julian's father, says what they like about Georgia right now is the landscape. I mean, even the schools, right? Georgia's in a situation where they've got three scholarship quarterbacks and would really like to have four. Now, this is where he gets very candid. He says, do they go in the portal and get a guy after spring ball? What does that room look like after spring? People can say, Lewis's father says, hey, commit today. But if you don't even know what the quarterback room is going to look like in June, it very well could be a different place. He would then go on to say later on this same quote, and you should read this entire story there for you. It's totally free at DogNation.com. The other thing that Lewis's father says, this is very honest. He's got a right to be as honest and forthright as he wants to, and he chooses that in this moment. He says, I can't see, he calls him Juju, I can't see, it's a sort of a nickname for a nickname, I can't see Jew going the way of Carson and sitting for 3 years, that kind of thing. He says, even talking to Carrollton coach Joey King, who also used to coach Trevor Lawrence at Cartersville, he says, Juju is not a dude that's going to sit for 3 years. Jeff asked Mr. Lewis, could Lewis sit one season and wait for his chance in Athens? Lewis's father says he could definitely sit 1 year, but three, we can't see that. I don't even think psychologically he could handle that. So very interesting comments, Julian Lewis's father there at DogNation.com. Now, Mr. Lewis and Juju himself, they've got every right to sort of go into this situation saying, this is what we want, this is what we expect, this is what we find to be intolerable. They've got every right to do that. But laying that out in such uncertain terms, I think creates a little bit of a choice for Georgia there as well. I would say there's a vetting process going on both sides here. The Lewis camp, they should be looking in on Georgia and saying, is Georgia a right fit for us? And are they going to help us accomplish the goals that we have? That's what they should be doing. Georgia on the flip side needs to be asking the same question of, given the big goals that Georgia has, given the track record for success that Georgia has had, is Lewis a good fit for that based on how that success has come together in the past? That's the kind of question that needs to be asked there as well. So interesting stuff there for Georgia with a current quarterback in Gunnar Stockton and perhaps a future quarterback in Julian Juju Lewis. And that's Around the Doghouse here on Dog Nation Daily presented by ServPro today. Now, before I get Connor Riley and have the conversation with him about this and a whole lot more, let me also give a shout out to our friends at Precision Garage Door here for a moment, because one of the things I love about Precision Garage Door, if you find yourself in need of whether it be like a quick garage door repair or in some cases a full-on garage door replacement, the folks at Precision Garage Door and their five-star reputation for service and excellence throughout the Atlanta area are going to jump in there and get that work done for you on time and answering phones 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You could always get in touch with one of those garage door replacement or repair specialists whenever that need arises for you. So there's also a $29 service fee, which is waived anytime you get a repair. If it's same day service for some sort of an emergency, or if you just need an estimate for some future work you want to get done, I want you to reach out to our friends at Precision Garage Door for more on that. The website to go to is precisiondoorgeorgia.com. That's precisiondoorgeorgia.com. They're a neighborly company. They take good care of you. They show up on time, and they work in a very, very satisfactory way for you. If you need a garage door repair, if you just want it to sound better, kind of blah, 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 blah when it comes down, or if you just need a brand new garage door so it'll look better and kind of feel better, our friends at Precision Garage Door got you covered on all that. precisiondoorgeorgia.com is the address. precisiondoorgeorgia.com. All right, I was going to talk about our Golden Shoe Bracket Contest. I'm going to save that for a little bit later on. We'll get more into that here in a little bit because we're running a little bit late here today. Let me get Connor Riley right now on what's happening at spring practice, some of the stuff from the Lewis camp, and everything else going on with UGA recruiting right now. A lot to discuss coming off a busy weekend for Georgia. Let's do it all right now here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by ServPro.
And across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
I am late getting to Connor Riley, and I apologize for that. He's obviously had some great stuff at DogNation.com last few days. Connor, I thought your practice report the other day was terrific at DogNation.com. Fun, I would imagine, for you to see as much of practice you got to. 20 minutes is a little bit longer than sometimes these things are. And I thought that you kind of came away with a couple of pretty interesting notes from that. I guess I'll start with that and sort of see where this builds to. You know, the idea that Joseph Jonah Jonye, for instance, we've talked a couple of days now about this, and Mikael Williams were sort of both sort of bouncing defensive end, outside linebacker. That perhaps may have been, at least in the case of Jonah Jonye, the most unexpected note, and perhaps in some respects the most interesting. What did you make of that? And then just anything else that with your own eyes you got a chance to see from spring practice going back to last Thursday?
Yeah, I think the thing with Jonah Jonye is, in following his recruitment, he's still such a raw player. There's no need, I think, to quite yet put him into a box in terms of what he can do and what, you know, he might not be able to do. So I like the idea of him, whether it be playing both positions or even just sort of mirroring Mikael Williams as a guy who could potentially go on to follow in similar footsteps in terms of the way that Georgia goes about using him. I will note Jonah Jonye is already bigger in terms of a size, in terms of weight, than Mikael Williams. He much more looks like a true 4-3 defensive end. And it really stands out to see him out there physically. You can see why this guy is a five-star. And, you know, we'll see how he's able to help Georgia this year. I think this spring is going to be really interesting for him when you consider Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins out with a foot injury. And you think that defensive end spot where Trayvon Walker played for a long time, I think, you know, eventually Jonah Jonye can grow to be a similar physical specimen like Trayvon Walker was in his time at Georgia. You know, Malik Herring held that position for a long time. It's not always the most stat-heavy, stat-producing position on this Georgia defense, but if he can sort of earn reps there and get his head around that position, I think that's going to help him see the field for Georgia this year, because from a physical standpoint, this guy absolutely looks like an SEC football player. And so getting him up to speed, throwing a lot at him early to see what sticks and what a role might for him might ultimately be, I think is one of the things that I'm really interested in seeing out of spring. The other guy on the offensive side of the ball, to me, that from at least a physical standpoint, just really jumps out at you, is Colby Young, the wide receiver transfer from Miami. I mean, look, there were some people sort of snickering when Miami had listed him at 6'5", 215, and Georgia lists him at 6'3", 220. You're like, okay, what size is he really? I got to say, I think he's closer to the Miami 6'5 than he is the Georgia 6'3. I mean, this guy's built like a horse that can play wide receiver. And by all accounts, he had a really strong practice on Saturday there for Georgia. And this guy is a real physical specimen that, you know, maybe other than George Pickens, and Pickens was a very different physically built wide receiver, Georgia hasn't necessarily had at this wide receiver position a guy who, just because of his size, can win at the next level. And, you know, I think you were one of the first people to latch on to Lawrence Cager all those years ago and how he could really help because of the touchdown production that he had at Miami. Colby Young has had 5 touchdowns in each of the last 2 seasons, and that's not insignificant to me. So if he's able to adapt quickly, and it seems like he has been, his physical size on the offensive side of the ball really stood out to me this past Tuesday, or Thursday, rather.
A lot of the conversation around spring practice is sort of in the unofficial category. I call it the online chatter, the whispers, you know, the people who know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody. So far, Colby Young sort of has the belt for the whisper campaign of spring. Is that safe to say?
I would say yes. I would say it's Colby Young and Trevor Etienne are sort of the 2 whisper all-stars. And Trevor is sort of a different type player. You get out there and you see him and you're like, man, he's not as big as some of the past Georgia running backs have been. And I wrote about that today. And just, you know, Del McGee very clearly, I think, had a type when he was recruiting running backs. And certainly you watch the way that position evolved over time. But they brought in Trevor Etienne before Del McGee had left to take the Georgia State head coaching job. And the fact that Trevor Etienne, already the first guy through drills, and as I outlined in the story, a guy that all the teammates have raved about how he came in and fit in with the team. And when you're coming from a program that's won only 11 games in the last 2 years to a program where, you know, last season was a disappointing year and they won 13 games, there's always some sort of wondering of how quickly he's going to mesh with the culture there. So the fact that we've heard that, and that aspect of it, I think, is really encouraging for Trevor Etienne in terms of what he's possibly going to be able to bring to the team. Because, you know, I know Quinshon Judkins' move from Ole Miss to Ohio State grabbed a lot of attentions, but he's probably going there and he's going to have less carries because of the fact that he's sharing the workload with Travion Henderson. Because Etienne's going to a backfield where he's going to be the guy, and quite frankly, I don't know what Georgia has at that running back room behind him. I could see Etienne being one of the real impact adds via the transfer portal in a way I don't think a lot of people were talking about coming out of that December, January window.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I thought your practice report the other day was right to point out and make sort of amplify the point that he was going through drills first, and that kind of echoes Kirby Smart bragging about his leadership when Smart spoke to begin spring practice the other day. And while I would never want to be like a wet blanket on any of this, because I'm obviously very excited about Etienne as well, and I guess I've been mispronouncing it as Etienne. I've been told it's Etienne. So let me make sure I give the long E sound there at the beginning there on that. But the point of all of this is, I do think the question that sort of exists below the surface on this is, how is he going to be a better player at Georgia than he was at Florida? Because if all he is the same player he was at Florida, that's not a game-changing player for the Georgia offense. And I mean that with all due respect. And I think the ESPN story that mentioned Etienne the other day about, you know, returning running backs in college, like, he was 8th on that list. But at a place like Georgia, like, 8th best returning doesn't quite move the needle the way that, like, say, best returning quarterback does in the case of a Carson Beck or something like that. So for me, it comes down to maybe better offensive line, perhaps better scheme, perhaps more motivation because it's a better team. But there has to be a legitimate answer to the non-rhetorical question of what makes Etienne a better player at Georgia than he was at Florida, because for him to be the very best version of himself, he really needs to be.
Yeah, so I'm going to use an NBA comparison here, and I know, you know, that might lose some of the audience, but Aaron Gordon is a player for the Denver Nuggets, won an NBA championship with them a season ago, and he gets to play with Nikola Jokic now, and he's so clearly elevated his game, in part because he gets to play with Jokic, and he's just playing in a more talented team. The reason the Denver Nuggets were able to get Aaron Gordon at such a discounted rate was because he spent so much time in Orlando. And there were a lot of questions about him coming out of Orlando. You know, he couldn't lead the team and wasn't a great shooter and things like that. And the reality is, Orlando just didn't do a good enough job of surrounding a talented team around Aaron Gordon to get the absolute most out of him. I think that's sort of what Trevor Etienne is going to be. I don't think Trevor Etienne is going to be the best player on this offense. I don't think he's going to be the best player on this Georgia team. But when you pair him with a Carson Beck, who, you know, if we want to continue the analogy here, I think is probably going to be Georgia's Nikola Jokic. If I'm going to say that Carson Beck is going to be Joe Burrow, I can probably also say that he's going to be a Nikola Jokic type figure in college football this year. And so when you have that, when you have an offensive line that's able to clear the way, maybe sort of like a Jamal Murray does at the point guard position for the Denver Nuggets, I think when you factor all that in there, it's putting Etienne in a position where he's never been before, where he doesn't have to be the focal point in terms of what the defense focuses on, because Georgia's passing game, I think, is going to be so potent this year. So by putting him in a role where he's allowed to do the things that he does best, I think that's what's going to help him the most and ultimately shine there. But I do agree, and you're right to point out, that if he just does what he did at Florida last year, he's not a difference maker in the way I think a lot of us have already talked about. And I think you can look at Dominic Lovett, a guy that last year similarly came and had a really strong spring, and had a good year statistically, but he wasn't the game changer that I think a lot of people thought he was going to be. A good player, a nice addition, but didn't really explode the way I think a lot of people anticipated that he would. And so that's certainly going to be something to follow here as well as spring practice and ultimately fall practice takes place.
You and I are speaking on a Tuesday morning. We'll hear from Kirby Smart again coming up in just a few minutes. But as Georgia moves into week two of spring practice, how does the storyline kind of evolve from here? What is next for Georgia in terms of its mission of having the most successful spring practice can possibly have?
Yeah, so I think the thing I'm now looking for is, now that we sort of have an idea of who's here and who's not, and you know, the injuries are such a big part of that first part of spring when so many guys are out, I'm looking at that safety position in that defensive backfield where, you know, yes, you already were going to have to replace Kamari Lassiter, Tyke Smith, Javon Bullard, but now, you know, Malachi Stark's not 100% this spring, dealing with a shoulder injury. He's going to be 100% ready, good to go come fall. You know, this is nothing new for Georgia in that regard. But it puts a lot more reps on the table for guys to step up and play at that safety position. I know there are going to be a lot of eyes on KJ Bolden and how he ultimately looks. Jake Pope is a name there as well. But you know, last week, going through drills first, were Dan Jackson and David Daniel Susvanna. So I think what that safety position looks like, maybe the offensive line is another position we watch closely. Does Micah Morris maybe further cement his role as the, you know, potential starter at that guard spot opposite Tate Ratledge there? So I think it's those position battles where, again, none of these are going to be decided in the spring. They very rarely are. But how do guys sort of step up and emerge at those positions where they are getting more reps and a little bit more playing time? I would say inside linebacker is one to watch as well. We're going to get a chance to hear from Jalen Walker today. I'm really interested in his development because I think at the NFL, he is an inside linebacker. And I know Brian Kelly made a lot of headlines earlier this offseason when he said Harold Perkins is going to be an inside linebacker for us. The reason why is because while Harold Perkins and Jalen Carter are incredible pass rushers and what they're able to do on third down, at Harold Perkins' size, 6'1", 220, and even at Jalen Walker's size at 6'2", 245, they're just not big enough to be edge players on a down-by-down basis at the college level, much less at the NFL level as well. So this spring, I think, is huge for them to get the reps in low-pressure situations, to get out on the field and see what they might be able to give you at that inside linebacker position.
All right, the time we have left, I want to talk some recruiting because I thought that was probably the biggest thing to come off the weekend. Just really, really interesting developments because of the huge list of impressive names that Georgia hosted. Now, there are two things I want to address here. I'll mention this and sort of push this back here for a moment. As a Georgia fan who wants the best class that Georgia can get, I'm really happy with how the 2025 class is taking shape here right now. Long time since Georgia's had a commitment. I don't know when the next big name sort of drops here, but the thing that I have been hammering over and over again, in-state line of scrimmage players, really important for Georgia to win with those. And just sort of more broadly, the elite offensive and defensive linemen anyway, this needed to be a big-time class for those guys, especially on the defensive line. Connor, the best that I can tell, that's going really well right now, even though we're not seeing commitments yet. It just sort of feels like there's a lot of positive movement with that. And I want to get to that in a moment. But as a lead into that, we read the quotes a moment ago that Mr. Lewis, Julian Lewis' father, gave to DogNation.com. I find them to be very, very interesting. And I believe that if you're the Lewis camp, you have a right to want what you want. And credit for you for speaking about what it is that you want. I'm not mad at them at all. But, you know, the notion that they couldn't do what Carson Beck did of, you know, wait a good number of years. And by the way, within the context of Arch Manning's going to wait at least 2 years, perhaps to become Texas quarterback. You know, we've got some context for players waiting a while for their chance to play. The fact that Julian Lewis's camp is saying we wanted to be treated and expect to be treated a little bit different than that. Connor, what that leads me to believe is not only is Lewis facing a choice about where he wants to go to school, which includes Georgia, Connor, just to put it bluntly, I believe that Georgia's facing a choice as it relates to Lewis there as well. Do you agree?
Yeah, and the name you haven't mentioned is Matt Zollers, the quarterback out of Pennsylvania, and I think that factors into it as well. And look, I think Georgia's going to have a decision to make here of, do they, you know, ride out with Lewis and sort of see what he wants to do, because he is still committed to USC, at least publicly. I don't think anyone truly believes that's where he's going to ultimately end up. But, and this is something where Georgia's going to take the best player. They're going to take the player that they believe best fits into their system. But look, in parsing Lewis's father's comments and seeing, hey, we want to go to a place where we can play early, I know a school that Georgia's going to play every single season that would love to have Juju Lewis and would probably feel pretty good about starting him right away, and that's the Auburn Tigers. Yeah. And so you maybe understand, hey, if we, you know, choose to go with Matt Zollers, who I don't know if I've publicly come out and said this. I think that's who Georgia should target, more so because I think the intangibles and also just the physical ability that he has, 6'3", 205, just bigger than Juju Lewis. That's a personal thing. If you have a chance to take a bigger size, bigger bodied guy, I'd prefer that. You know, if you miss out on Lewis, I think there's a very good chance he stays within the SEC. I think Auburn is a program that has made a very concerned push to try and land him. And you look at the way Auburn's recruited, and you know how well-respected Lewis is in this state. He's probably going to bring some guys to that Auburn program there as well. So it's going to be very interesting to sort of watch and see how Georgia threads this needle in terms of how it goes about recruiting the quarterback position in this 2025 cycle, because these dominoes and moves all have different impacts. And so what Georgia ultimately decides to do with the quarterback position, I think is going to go a very long way in shaping how this 2025 recruiting class doesn't just turn out for Georgia, but is talked about as well.
Yeah, I think there are two things going on here. You know, I don't pretend to be a scout, but my evaluation of Lewis as a player is he's incredibly cool. He's incredibly confident. He makes quarterback look easy. And he plays on a really good team, and Joey King's obviously a tremendous tutor of quarterbacks. I believe that's one of the reasons why that marriage is even in place, because it's great quarterback, you know, with a great quarterback coach. There's probably some, you know, intentional symmetry with all of that. So my evaluation of Lewis as a prospect, of course, he's a five-star. Of course, he's going to command massive attention in any realm of where he's going to take these official visits. I don't have a bad word to say about Lewis as a player at all. But this is a Georgia show. We're kind of a pro Georgia show. And we're talking about, you know, the recipe that's led Georgia win national championships in the past. Prioritizing a guy like Lewis over someone like David Sanders, someone like Elijah Griffin. I've said before, if I could have one player in this 2025 class, Elijah Griffin's the guy that I want. And I think you could, you know, you talk about Juan Gaston, you could talk about, you know, Cortis Smith, you could talk about Mason Short. I mean, it's the line of scrimmage guys that I think is what made Georgia a national champion. And I'm not saying that, you know, if Julian Lewis doesn't want to be here, I don't want him. Like, I'm not getting my feelings hurt. I'm not any of that. This is a very premier quarterback prospect. Of course, they're going to have wide-eyed, you know, evaluations of where they're going to end up going. I'm just saying, in the case of Georgia, there are recruits in this class more important than Julian Juju Lewis.
Michigan won the national championship last year. J.J. McCarthy going to be a first-round pick, potentially even a top-10 pick. B.A., in the game against Penn State last year, do you remember how many passes J.J. McCarthy completed in the second half of that game?
I know they ran it like 30 times in a row at one point in time, so I'm guessing the number was very, very low.
You and I had the same number of completions that day in the second half against Penn State. It would be zero. I think we have seen in college football in recent years, if you have an overwhelming advantage on the line of scrimmage on both sides, whether it be the offensive line or the defensive line, it's going to take you a very, very long way. We've talked so much about, you know, and going over the 2023 team and where they came up short. They just, in my opinion, didn't have the defensive line difference maker or difference makers that they did in years past. And so, look, and Kirby Smart has said this, and I think we've learned a little bit from the way the Dylan Raiola recruitment sort of shook out, especially there at the end. You know, if you're wanting to be a five-star guy, that's great and all, but if you want to come in and play early and want certain guarantees, Georgia's just not that program for you at the quarterback position, I think. You're going to have to go out there and earn it. And we've seen, you know, Georgia is very comfortable having guys sit in their system for a while, whether it be a Carson Beck, a Stetson Bennett, even eventually maybe a Gunnar Stockton or a Ryan Puglisi. They're very comfortable letting guys sit, being experienced, and then ultimately unleashing them when they are a little bit more physically developed. And while, yes, you have seen guys come in and play as freshmen, you know, McCarthy was one, Caleb Williams was one there as well. I think Georgia's proven they know what they're doing at the quarterback position and the way they develop guys. And so if you feel that you need to get on the field first and get on the field early, that works for you. And as you point out there, it's 100% their right and their prerogative to do so. But Georgia also has to do what is best for Georgia and not necessarily what is best in the mind of Juju Lewis and his family in terms of what they're doing for this team. So it's going to be very interesting to see how all this plays out. I think one of the really interesting parts of it is it sounds like Zellers wants to have an April decision, a decision made by the end of April, get this sort of over with. Juju Lewis isn't taking his official visit to Georgia until May 31st. So there might be some time in the early days of May where we're on a panda watch when it comes to the quarterback position, the quarterback recruiting world for Georgia in the 2025 recruiting cycle.
All right, two very quick rapid fire things because we're going late here on this. Thing number one, and I kind of talked about this before you came here. I really like Gunnar Stockton. I wanted to be on the record that I am very pro Gunnar Stockton. And so any kind of conversation about who's going to be what for Georgia in 2025 and 2026, I want it to be known. I believe Gunnar Stockton is going to be a major factor in whatever quarterback thing happens at UGA. I've predicted that Georgia will win a national championship with him. I just really like Gunnar Stockton. So that doesn't mean that I don't want anybody, because I want everybody. But I really like Gunnar Stockton.
Would you like some of my Gunnar Stockton stock?
Yeah, if you're selling, I'm buying it.
I am moving positions, moving my portfolio around here a little bit. But look, you know, we saw Gunnar Stockton throw at Pro Day last week. I think this is a guy that is a gamer. When the lights come on and he's out there playing in a game, he just sort of elevates and plays a little bit better there. And so, you know, that's something where it's going to change from time to time. He did some nice things in that win over Florida State. And I think his mobility, his athleticism, his willingness to run is something that is ultimately going to help him a lot. How much he runs and how much Kirby lets him run, I think is going to be very interesting, because we know from watching Stetson Bennett, and granted Stetson and Stockton are built very, very differently. They did not really want to run Stetson unless it was in that red zone area, and he was able to rack up touchdowns in that regard. Whereas what we've seen from Gunnar Stockton, both as a high school player and in the brief times in college, is he's willing to run, you know, when Georgia's not close to the red zone. And so I think how he continues to develop as a passer is big. He's pretty clearly going to be Georgia's backup quarterback this fall. And look, you know, it's a tougher schedule for Georgia, yes, but there are going to be opportunities where Georgia's up big over the course of the year. And, you know, that you think that Tennessee Tech game, second week of the season, you know, maybe some of the other home games Georgia has, they get up big. I'm going to be watching with real interest in terms of how Gunnar Stockton goes in and plays, because we saw with Carson Beck, you know, there were some questions about whether or not he was ultimately going to be a starter at Georgia. And during that 2022 season, when he was the backup and came in for Stetson Bennett, he really impressed people with the way he played, specifically that game against Vanderbilt that comes to mind there. So if Gunnar Stockton's able to follow a similar progression to Carson Beck, I think he could absolutely be the starter for Georgia and be a very productive player for the Bulldogs moving forward.
Absolute last thing, and we can make this quick as well, but do you agree with the read that I have that while I don't know when the next big commitment comes from Georgia, I kind of like where it sits with Griffin right now. I sort of like where it sits with, you know, I don't know about David Sanders as much, but it seems like that visit went well over the weekend. That when you start looking at some of the Juan Gaston, I'd say, I think that Georgia may be in an okay spot right there right now. That you know, these are not official predictions necessarily, but it seems like there's positive buzz with the kinds of line of scrimmage players, offensive and defensive linemen that I've said I want Georgia to get. It seems like that's all going pretty well right now. Do you get the same read on that?
I do. Cortez Smith is a name to throw out there. Josh Petty is one that Georgia is trending for as well. So again, long way to go with all of this, but Georgia's in a very good position with a lot of these key names. And we talk so much about the guys that are uncommitted, the Elijah Griffith, as you see right there.
Good Lord.
Don't forget about Justice Terry as well. This is a guy that I think can be a real difference maker for Georgia moving forward. And, you know, you talk about building on strengths. Georgia's already got two tight end commitments in this class. Ethan Barber at Milton High School. He was at Alpharetta High School. And then Elias Williams out of Camden County down there. Where Georgia has won in recent years has been on the lines of scrimmage. And this 2025 recruiting class is shaping up to do that as well. But yeah, before I go, I know you said last week, Georgia football practice report are your four favorite words.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get to watch practice again today.
Nice.
I'm going to give you the opportunity. What is something or a player that you want me to watch and specifically write about coming out of this practice today?
I'd like to hear what KJ is doing. I'd like to hear about KJ. I think that KJ would be a good one, because it seems like we're hearing some okay stuff. It's also a very crowded situation there, and I guess Ellis a little bit too there on that. But I feel like that you touched on defensive secondary, I think, a moment ago there as well. I think to me that seems like probably the most fun thing right now. And I would also add, other side of the ball, you know, does Colby Young do something with the media there today that sort of backs up the, hey, chair about blah, blah, blah? You know, I think that those are the things. A Colby Young and a KJ Bolden / Ellis Robinson, I believe from a practice report standpoint, that's probably the thing that I would like to hear more about based on what you're able to see today.
Okay, so check back to Dog Nation around 5:15, 5:30 today. You will find a practice note on KJ Bolden and Colby Young.
So the problem is now we've done this live, and so when we get there, Kirby's going to have him on the stationary bike. Kirby always one step ahead. He'll have them doing yoga when we get there, or when you get there, but nonetheless. Connor, good stuff. I love reading it. I think your coverage of spring practice has been outstanding. I really, really appreciate it. And it's fun to talk some recruiting with you there as well. And we'll look forward to doing all of this again here very soon on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Serpro.
As always, it was a pleasure.
Good stuff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So long there, but I think worth it. And by the way, a little bit of a play the hits there at the end, a little request line. Did I give the right answer, Colby Young and KJ Bolden? Are y'all okay with that as the things you're most interested in perhaps hearing a little bit more about? Hopefully you like that. Maybe I should have said something different, but that's kind of where I am there right now. So fun that Connor would give us the chance to do all of that. And speaking of fun, boy, you talk about fun. I had a chance, we're going to do an update on our Golden Shoe Bracket contest here in a moment, but some of the people that checked in and are going to participate, we had a great response yesterday. People are going to be on our Dog Nation cruise, and I feel like I know them because we've hung out together. And for those of you who are going to be on your Dog Nation cruise for the very first time coming up in a few weeks, man, I can't wait to share that time together. We just like having fun. We like doing fun things. And I'm so thankful that I work at a company like Dog Nation that gives us a chance to partner with a great company like Royal Caribbean to do something like a Dog Nation cruise coming up in just a few days. And honestly, if I had my wish, we would all be on it together. Obviously, the ship wouldn't even be large enough to hold us all, of course. It takes several cruise ships to fit our audience, thankfully speaking. But nonetheless, we would love for all of you to have your chance to be on a Royal Caribbean cruise vacation at some point in time here in 2024. We think this is a great time to be able to do that. And Jessica Slater is a great travel agent that can do it for you. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. And one of the things you see there is you see Allure of the Sea sailing towards Perfect Day, Coco Cay. I think for people who perhaps have not been on a Dog Nation or a Royal Caribbean cruise since last year's Dog Nation cruise, I think one of the things they're going to love and be so excited about is the debut of Hideaway Beach there at Perfect Day, Coco Cay. I had a chance to experience that a few months ago. And I just think you want to kind of add like the sort of Vegas-style pool party to like what's already a wonderful spot. You got the thrill side, the chill side, tallest water slide in North America on the kind of the thrill side water park. The chill side's got the Oasis Lagoon and the wonderful areas to sort of relax and kind of have the kind of peace and quiet. But if you want some fun, if you want some high energy, that's really kind of what Hideaway Beach sort of provides. And there's all kinds of sort of cool enclave there. You want the private cabana there, you can kind of do that. You want your sort of own sort of adults-only beach experience, you can sort of get that. It's just a really great way to have a perfect day made even better, if that's even possible. Hideaway Beach now is a part of Perfect Day Coco Cay. Jessica can tell you more about that. So once again, give her a call, 770-718-9147. Or email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com. So Connor and I talking a good bit of UGA recruiting a moment ago. One of the things that comes up, we've said, and this is not a disrespect to Julian Juju Lewis. I hope Juju comes to Georgia. Of course, I want great players to come to UGA. Lewis is, pretty clearly from a prospect standpoint in that category. But there are names that probably ring in my ears a little bit more, and one of those is David Sanders. We talked about Sanders yesterday. And there is an update on Sanders' recruitment here right now. We now know the schedule for his official visits. Obviously, Georgia will be one of those. Let me show you this on the screen. Details as it relates to Sanders going to Clemson on May 31st. That's sort of the big school here. Prior to that, you'll see South Carolina on April 19th. It's Georgia on June 7th. It's Tennessee on June 14th. It's Alabama on June 18th. And it's Ohio State on June 21st. Now, let me give you a thought here, and this is just, frankly, my knee-jerk reaction. We know that no matter all the official visits he may be taking, it sort of feels like this may be a Georgia-Clemson battle. If Clemson's the number one suitor, along with Georgia, for David Sanders, then I like Georgia in that situation. Kirby Smart just is a little bit more capable of kind of throwing elbows in a recruiting process than a guy like Dabo Swinney's proven to be. I have great respect for Matt Luke, but based on previous track record, I sort of feel like I like Stacey Sarles in that battle, perhaps a little bit there as well. Now, listen, when you go to Clemson, they're going to be putting that pressure on them. They're going to want you to commit there on the spot. They're going to be doing everything they can to get you to do this. And obviously, they can talk about sort of the long-range relationship, things like that. But in battles like this, I think that Georgia's earned a lot of respect and credit. And so we'll see if Georgia's able to do that there. Those official visits for David Sanders, they do come out. We got play-in games tonight. They don't really like to call them the play-in game. I believe they call them the first four, but we're getting rolling with that. And we have our Golden Shoe Bracket contest going. We talked about this yesterday. We got a great response. I was so thankful. And this morning, I got up early and kind of sent the link out to everybody to be a part of this. So if you want to be a part of our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge, this is nothing special. Like, this is just sort of the same, type of, there's no extra bell and whistle. This is just something we're doing for fun. We're going to let the winner come and get a chance to take a bow live on the air on Dog Nation Daily, which we're excited about. And we got a great response to this yesterday, but there's still time for you to be in on this there too. So here's what I want you to do. My email address is brandon.adams@dognation.com. You can send me your name, your email, your mailing address, and your phone number. And the reason why is because I want to be able to contact you if you're the winner so we can get you live on the air here. And we're going to try to do a couple of other prizes there too. So I'm going to see if we can you know, have some mailing addresses so we can perhaps send something out to you. We're going to try to do that anyway where possible. So once again, my email, brandon.adams@dognation.com. We got a great response this yesterday. I think it's going to be really fun. People are already getting their brackets in there. So many people saying so many nice things. Just really appreciate that. This is just something to do because I like hanging out with all of you. And this is sort of a way for us to sort of virtually do that. So once again, send your name, your email, your mailing address, and your phone number to me, brandon.adams@dognation.com. We're going to try to make our Golden Shoe Bracket Challenge as big as it can possibly be. Now, I have to confess, as I'm kind of working on my own bracket here for a moment, this is one of those deals where I'm not really proud of myself necessarily because, you know, listen, I'm a Georgia fan. We hate Georgia rivals. But also when it comes to your bracket, something like that, there's a little bit of a source of pride that kicks in. You want to get this right if you possibly can. So when I look at all the SEC teams, I have to say there's one that I keep circling back on. An SEC team that I think if there is a team from the SEC in the Final Four, I have to confess, the team I think it's most likely to be is probably Auburn. And I don't necessarily want it to be, but at the same time, if it's going to be, I at least want to get it right in my bracket. So look at the combination of offensive and defensive efficiency for those who care about those sort of stats. Look at the history of Bruce Pearl as a coach. You know, look at the ineptitude in terms of big moments for Tennessee that seems to choke everything away, and Kentucky, who's been even worse in tournaments as of late. You really trust those teams here right now? I think Alabama's likely to be something of a non-entity. It's really Auburn that I keep kind of coming back to as the team. Even though they're only, what, a four seed, I probably keep coming back to them as the SEC team in my bracket that's going to probably advance the farthest. Now, listen, you can obviously take that with a grain of salt, and you probably should. But in my bracket, I have to confess, I've probably got Auburn probably advancing a little farther than I wish I did. One more note here as a part of cruising around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. We, believe it or not, already have an SEC team that's had its SEC spring game. Now, it's not even spring yet officially. Missouri had its spring game this past weekend. Interesting buzz coming out of Missouri on Darius Smith, who already has kind of gotten some praise from Eli Drinkwitz, you know, early in spring. They do this kind of ceremony where they're like, who gets to get their jersey and earn their jersey? Well, Darius Smith supposedly earned his jersey, you know, quicker than most of the other players. I guess they did a little draft thing for the spring game. He got drafted pretty high. And apparently, according to some that got a chance to watch it, I was not one of those people. But according to some that got to watch that Missouri spring game, apparently Smith did pretty well for a Missouri defensive line that has been more good than not the last couple of years. And obviously, when you think about Brady Cook at quarterback, this is a team that's got one of the higher projected season win totals for almost anybody in the SEC. They're thought to be a legitimate playoff contender. Had there been a 12-team playoff a year ago, Missouri would have been in it. And one of the guys that apparently is going to kind of keep Missouri in the conversation among contenders here this fall is a former Dog who you know well. By the way, his dad was almost always in our comment section. We certainly miss him. But Darius Smith now at Missouri and apparently doing some pretty big things, the Tigers here this spring, air quotes around spring, because they finished while it was still winter. But nonetheless, we'll make that cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And as we wrap up here today, how about a Golden Shoe? And a lot of you know that around here we believe in truth in advertising. I don't endorse any sponsor that I don't use myself, that I don't enjoy myself, and obviously, that's true for one of our great sponsors, Dr. Pepper. Now, our buddy Bill Sanders sent this to me. He said, BA, did you come up with this? And what it is a cat in the hat meme that says, I will drink Dr. Pepper here, or I will drink Dr. Pepper everywhere. Well, pretty much that is true for me, and that's been true my entire life. And so that's very funny for Bill Sanders. And I can sit here right now, look across the studio, and I see that Dr. Pepper waiting for me as soon as this show is done. So always a great way to close out a show. A fun Golden Shoe for Bill, and of course a little Dr. Pepper waiting for me there as well. However, lousy, stinking Gators, they get no Dr. Pepper. They get no beverages of any kind to really enjoy because it's been 1,228 days since they've beaten Georgia in football. You'd love to think about that. That's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll see you back here again tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Surf Pro.